Here it is, the second Sunday of December, the third Sunday of Advent. We've looked at hope and peace, and today, like Horace mentioned, we're going to be looking at joy. And the Lord is not short on any of those things. He's not short. You know, he's got plenty of it. You know, it's like you've got to go and pay a light bill. You can say, well, you know what, I'm a little bit short today. I don't have enough money. The Lord is never short on supplies, on material. He's got every, you know, the earth is the Lord and all that there is in it. And he's got plenty of hope for each of us. And he can provide us with peace, that shalom kind of peace that covers everything. And today we're going to take a look at joy. And we're going to start with this familiar Christmas-themed scripture verse from Luke chapter 2. It says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.'" Peace on those whom his favor rests. The angels had come to this group of shepherds. The shepherds, you know, they were out watching their flocks by night. And, you know, I just imagine it being a clear sky. And it might be a little bit cool in the day, you know, cooler at night. And so they're just kind of sitting there watching the sheep. And if we know anything about shepherds, or if we know anything about sheep, we know, you know, if you've been on a farm where there's sheep, or a ranch where there's sheep, or you've been to a petting zoo where there's sheep or goats, they stink. You know, they smell, you know. And I had the privilege, the first time that Pastor Don took us to France with the group, I had the privilege of having goat cheese for the very first time. And goat cheese tastes kind of like a wet goat, but it's good. It is so good. Yeah, it's really good. But goats stink. And you would imagine that the shepherds being around them aren't, you know, the most pleasant fellas to be around. They're just, you know, because that it kind of gets on them. But the angels come to them. The angels don't go appear to the rich guys. They don't go to see Herod. They don't go to see the Pharisees. They don't go to see, you know, the prominent men of Jerusalem or Bethlehem or any other nation. They don't go to see whoever is, you know, the big high kahuna, the big cheese of Israel or any other part of the world. They go to shepherds, the lowest of the low in their culture, in their society. They're low. They're low people. They're almost, you know, it's like you could go a little bit lower to a leper and a beggar, you know, or a Gentile, or a woman in their mindset back then. Shepherd, they went there. They went there. And it says, they said, "This is going to be a sign to you." They spoke to the shepherds. They didn't just go to them. They spoke to them. They addressed them and said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Joy is a gift that comes from God. We can't manufacture it, but we can welcome it. Joy is more powerful than happiness. It lasts and enters through a simple act of faith. We can't produce joy. We can't, like, you know, build it up. Like, all right, I'm gonna have joy. I'm gonna have joy. What we can do is we can meditate on some of the things that God has done in us and through us, some of the things that he has provided, the miraculous things that he has provided for us, those, you know, the 2 minute to midnight kind of deal that he comes at the last moment, the healings that he provides. We can meditate, think on those things. We can look at his word. You know, it's like tonight we may go to bed crying, but the joy comes in the morning. It takes faith to have joy. And joy is more powerful than happiness. It lasts and enters through a simple act of faith. Happiness is predicated upon what is happening. I mean, the words are related, right? If things are happening in our lives that are good, there's the potential for us to be happy. You know, you get that proverbial check in the mail, you get good news, you know, you're pregnant or you're not pregnant, you're whatever it is that it just makes you happy, you know, a birthday party kind of a deal. You know, you gather with friends and you're just happy to be around one another. Well, that's fleeting. It's not, you know, it doesn't last. Once it's over and done, it's done. But we can still have joy. And joy is greater than happiness. I don't believe that Jesus was very happy about going to the cross. You know, he wept and he shed blood, right? He was so intense in his prayer time before. And he said, Father, if there be any other way, take this cup. I don't believe he was too happy about it, but he still had joy that he could go toward. And then he received that joy. And that was you and I in the universe, all of us. So I'm going to go ahead and read from the devotional that we've been going through. In a Macy's department store, a strange Christmas happening occurs. In the movie Miracle on 34th Street, an old man going by the name Kris Kringle sets about the task of bringing back the spirit of Christmas by filling in as a Macy's department store Santa. The children love him, but the story hinges on Kris convincing Doris, the store's special events director, that he is the real Santa Claus. Or Santa Claus, as they say. With phrases like, Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind, and faith is believing when common sense tells you not to, Kris succeeds in convincing everyone, including Doris, that believing is seeing, and true joy comes from faith in things that go beyond the facts. The first line there is, have the faith of a child. Have the faith of a child. Jesus had said to his disciples, unless you change and become like a little child, you won't be able to perceive the kingdom of heaven. You won't understand it. You won't get it. And that's faith. We got to come to him with the faith of a little child to believe. You know, and in the story, you know, if you've seen Miracle on 34th Street, you know the story. And I'm not one that believes Santa Claus flies around in a sleigh and brings gifts and anything, but it's still a pretty cool movie. You know, it's just a movie. It's just a story. And but there are kids who just, you know, they're waiting in line to see Santa Claus. And, you know, you got Natalie Wood's character, a little girl. She's like, I don't believe. Nope. You know, well, you've got to use your imagination. No, I don't. What's, you know, do you know what an imagination is? It's pretend, you know. I say, well, you can pretend to be a monkey, you know. And they go through this thing where Natalie Wood, and I just think she's adorable. You know, she really is. Tragic end, but a beautiful child and a beautiful woman that was a pretty good actress as well. And but there's a metamorphosis that happens within the film. And we see how, you know, there's some people that are just totally against him. And then pretty soon, just because of his actions, people's hearts and minds begin to change. And Doris, he says this to Doris, that essentially believing is seeing. And what's the line? Faith is believing when common sense tells you not to. And I say that a lot in a different way, you know, where faith begins where logic and reason end. You know, I tell that to a lot of people. You know, if I'm having a conversation with the atheist, you know, or the agnostic, it's like, well, how can you believe in a God that, you know, the God doesn't exist? He's some invisible clown in the sky, the flying spaghetti monster kind of deal. And it's like, faith in God begins where logic and reason ends. And even God uses logic and reasons, because in Isaiah he says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this stuff. You know, and it's, you know, be willing or be ready to have an answer for anyone who asks, right? That's in one of those letters towards the end. Believing is seeing. That's our imagination. It's our vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Ever seeing but never perceiving or believing. In Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was visible. was not made out of what was visible. So it takes faith to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. It takes faith. You know, it takes faith to believe that it was just something that happened. You know, they'll argue and say, no, it doesn't. It's not a religion. Yeah, it is, you know, because you've got a practice and you've got a doctrine and, you know, a teaching and a way of life and all that. It's a religion, you know, but they fail to see that because they have no faith. There's a mustard seed somewhere in there. But faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, well, how can you believe? How can you believe God is going to heal you? You know? You know, think of the servant, you know, Gehazi, they're there, and, you know, oh my gosh, I'm scared, what are we going to do? The army's coming, they're going to come, and they're going to kill us all, and what does the prophet say? He says, Lord, open his eyes that he can see, and whether the prophet could see it or not, he believed, no, God is going to come and deliver us, dude, God is going to come and deliver us here, and so he opened the eyes of the servant Gehazi, and he looked up, and he's like, all those chariots, the flaming chariots of fire, just around, just ready to come and fight and defeat the coming army. And so for us, believing is seeing. Not, you know, seeing is believing. You know, Missouri, the show me state. Well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. We've heard some great teachings about Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, who said, well, I'm not going to believe that it's Jesus who raised from the dead until I see him and put my hand in his side and my fingers through the holes of his palms. I'm not going to believe it. So the rest of them did believe when they were told. There might have been a little bit of skepticism, like, really? He said he was going to do it. He said 3 days and I'll raise this temple up again, and he was talking about his body, and Thomas was like, no. So for us, you know, blessed are those who believe and don't see. So we have to see with our mind's eye, so to speak. We have to envision it. The Taj Mahal didn't just appear. There was a vision. Someone saw it before it was. It's everything. In Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though we did not know where he was going, we've been in that place too. You know, we don't know where we're going. You know, don't follow me, I'm lost. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, okay? Not like he was like this really intense. You know, that's what I always pick, you know, he's an intense dude. He was an intense kind of guy. As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He believed without seeing. God said, take up your stuff and go. Where am I going? Don't worry about it. You'll know when you get there. He didn't know where he was going, so he just took that step and started walking. That's faith. And there's a progression there to get us to that place of joy. In Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's repeated like 4 or 5 times in the Bible, you know, that observation. That because Abraham believed God, God accredited that to him as righteousness. Number two, have the faith of the shepherds. Have the faith of the shepherds. Back to the devotional. Second column, the second paragraph says, the shepherds in the Christmas story are out tending their sheep, doing their job, and enjoying their normal distance from the disapproving crowds. Outcast and mocked, shepherds banded together for some sense of community as they shared in the dirty, smelly work of sheep farming. See, I told you, dirty and smelly. Right here. While on night shift one evening, okay, you remember the cartoon with the, you know, the two wolves and, you know, the coyote, that was a wily coyote, and the sheep, and they go in, and then there was the sheep dog, and they were like, hey, morning, Fred, and they'd clock in, and the sheep dog would go out there and watch the sheep, and the coyote would come in, and you know, then the next shift, they're just, okay, so they're working the night shift, While on night shift one evening on the Knolls near Bethlehem, the sky lights up and they hear the thundering sound of angels singing. They are told to go into the town to see the king who has been born there. Filled with a childlike belief in what they've been told, they run off to find Jesus. The angel party helped for sure, but they still made a hard decision to leave their flocks. When they see Jesus, the shepherds are filled with joy. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. Ecstatic and uncontainable joy was pulsing through their veins that night, all because they simply believed what they heard. So here's these simple guys. I imagine they're simple. Angels appear to them, and they're like, okay, yeah, let's go. And they go, and they see. And, you know, they've probably heard the stories growing up. You know, maybe, you know, they're probably teenagers. You know, like King David was out tending his father's sheep, probably young guys out there in the field. And they've heard the stories. They've heard the stories about the coming Messiah. And maybe a couple of them were like, you know what, I heard he was going to be born around here somewhere. City of David, that's where we live, you know. And so they get down there and it's like, oh wow, look at this, you know, picture the scene, you know, here's the star shining and all that, you know, the stuff that we see in the nativity on the greeting cards and that, and they're just overwhelmed. They just start singing praise, just give praise to him. The former, happiness versus joy. The former is dependent upon what is happening around us in our lives. The latter, as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, can fill our hearts regardless of circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice. That's having joy. And it's twice, because you rejoice. You have joy, and then you have joy again. It's like just for everything, in every circumstance, in every situation. Now, this week was the week that Keith should not have been doing a message on joy. Because Monday, Tammy's car does not pass inspection because one tire on the front is a different size than the tire on the other side on the front. So it doesn't pass inspection. Then Keith is getting ready, and it has to do less with the girth and more with the age of my belt. The metal thing just broke off. So I had to go grab another belt. I'm like, okay. You know, you have a work belt, and it's like, okay. Then, brand new boots. So, was this Friday? The laces break. You know, I'm tying my boots, and the laces just break. Simple stuff, but aggravating. And then, you know, Tammy had to take her dad up to Richmond to VCU, and they're going to do the surgery on Monday. And so, you know, that's going on in the back of the mind, and it's like, you know, they've given the, I can't remember what the prognosis is, but it's like, you know, it's an aneurysm in the stomach, and it's, you know, greater than 6 centimeters, you know, so it's a dangerous operation. It's not like, you know, some routine thing. It's pretty dangerous. And so that's going on in the back of our minds as well. So, but in every circumstance. And then, of course, you know, the end of the year in a lot of businesses, there's always scuttlebutt about what's going to happen the next year within the corporation. You know, I work for a public company, you know, traded on the stock market, and there's bottom lines that have to be taken care of for the investors and all that. So there's always scuttlebutt about raises, no raises, more laborers, fewer laborers, you know, all that stuff. So it's like, people quitting and all that. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That's how we get joy. Pray. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it says in, right? We know that. Give thanks in, not for. In the midst of it. You know, we can thank him later for it because it, you know, produces perseverance according to James. We'll get there. Romans chapter 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. So over here we've got hope, the first, you know, the littlest candle. That's how I know it was hope, because it was lit first. Okay. So I didn't have to like really think hard on that one. Hope. You know, be joyful in your hope. Because we can believe. We can believe that the Lord is going to take care of us and do what he says. Be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. In Psalm 94:19, it says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Consolation. I've used this before. You know, the parting gifts. A game show back in the 70s or 80s, the game shows where it's like, all right, thanks for playing. We've got some great parting. We've got some consolation prizes for you. It's like, okay, well, you didn't win the big prize. You didn't get to go down there and get the big deal or whatever it was. But you've got this, this year's supply of Jimmy Dean pork sausage. You know, it's like, there's your consolation prize. And the home version of the game. And the Lord's consolation is different than that. His consolation is good stuff. You know, it's not something that we really don't need. It's good. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. So in our anxiety, we need to pray. And in that, the Lord brings consolation. And in that, we receive joy. He brings it to us. He gives it to us. Number three, have faith that welcomes joy. We got to have faith that welcomes joy. You know, some of us, maybe we don't want to be, we're very staid individuals. We're not the celebratory kind. We're not very emotional. We don't, cheer at the game. We don't yell at the TV, when the refs make that bad call and your team loses because they were robbed of a touchdown or, whatever it is, because the NFL is fixed and the refs are in the pocket of Goodell and, it's fixed. Don't even worry about it. You know, it's almost as bad as wrestling. I'm just kidding. So joy, have a faith that welcomes joy. Happiness is a word we use for a temporary state of well-being brought on by positive experiences. We go to Disney World and we're happy, the happiest place on earth. We get a bonus check at work. Actually, the happiest place on earth for me is home. That's the happiest place on earth for me. Nothing beats it. We get a bonus check at work and we're happy. What's that? We get our teenager to successfully tell us how their day was and we're happy. Parents, has that ever happened? Where you said, to your teenager is, so how was school today? How was your day today? Okay. Can I have some Hot Pockets? just because we, as teenagers, a lot of us, maybe we don't talk, but I know there's a lot of the kids that we've had in this church they talk to their parents, even when they're teens. But joy is a radically different idea in the Bible. Joy is not fleeting like happiness. It does not change with our circumstances. Joy is a constant state of well-being learned by believing God is trustworthy, then acting on that belief through faith. Joy grows inside of us as we learn to thank God in all circumstances, diffusing grumbling with words of praise, appreciation, and faith in God's promises to us. The shepherds' hearts were filled with a lasting gladness that night. The pebble that started the joy avalanche inside of them was their simple childlike faith in God's trustworthiness. Doris finally says in the movie, I believe, it's silly, but I believe. Her heart is filled with a newfound joy in simply believing without empirical data. Doris is exerting faith, and her heart is filled with joy as she believes in something she can't fully understand for the first time. An act of faith stirs joy in a soul that is ripe and ready to experience God's love, favor, and kindness. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This Christmas miracle of Emmanuel, meaning God with us, can fill us again with joy if we become like a child and simply believe. I like that image of the pebble avalanche. Again, for me, it comes from a cartoon, where something falls in the snow and then it starts to roll. And, when we've built snowmen, as kids or even as adults, we go out and build a snowman. You start with a snowball and you make it a little bit bigger, and then you start to roll it. That's what I picture, and that was with their joy. It just started to fill up, spring up, a wellspring of joy within our hearts that just bursts and can keep on coming. Just, just keep on flowing. In James 1, verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." And he goes on. James is the brother of Jesus, so he was witness to all that. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It's kind of hard, isn't it? You know, you're facing the trial, and it's like, oh, I'm supposed to consider this joy? You know, I came down here, you know, this guy sold me this tire, and then I get over here, and it's the wrong size, and now I got to go back and get another tire. This guy trying to rip me off? What the heck? You know? Consider it pure joy. Count it all joy that when you face those trials. Believing is seeing. You know, it's kind of hard, right? I think it's difficult. For me, it's difficult, you know, facing a trial. Know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So it teaches us to move forward. It teaches us to keep going. You know, when you start working out and you get, you know, the pains in the arms, you know, the muscles that you're using in your group, or if you're doing some work in the yard that you haven't done for a while, you're using a new muscle group, you get that pain, and it's like, oh. But if you do it more and more, there's less pain and there's growth. There's growth. You experience just a growth. So it's the same thing with us. We experience this trial, which would be like lifting weights. It's a trial, and it brings pain, but in the end, it produces perseverance. That's how someone can run a marathon, right? That's how someone can swim several lengths of an Olympic-sized pool. You know, I can't just jump in the pool and swim, you know, 300 meters. You know, I might be able to swim from one side to the other. Short ways, not long way, you know, and then have to take a break. But with that, perseverance is developed through that, going through that trial. So in conclusion, this season, joy can dominate over the quiet fears and crushing doubts that oppress us daily. Faith begins by believing that Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God. Whether you've believed this for many decades or for the first time at this moment, exert simple faith again this Christmas, no matter what comes, and let God deliver the joy. We've all been given it. At one point in our life, we were given that mustard seed side of faith, and it grows. Sometimes, you know, as we grow older, maybe we're not nurturing it anymore. That mustard seed, that mustard tree, it's really a bush, but it looks like a tree. It's huge. Maybe we've let some weeds grow up around it. Maybe some of the branches have kind of fallen and died off because we haven't been able to consider it pure joy when we face those trials. We haven't been taking care of it. I mean, that's my fault, you know. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Remember, it starts with love, and it's wrapped up in self-control. But joy is the second thing mentioned. So if we experience God's love, we can't help but have joy. So this season... This season, let's look at some things in our life that we can be joyful about. What are some of the things that we put our faith in? Some of the things that make us happy right now. You know, think about that. What are some of the things that make you happy? Don't start singing the Pharrell song, please. Put that in your head, didn't I? Yeah, sorry. What are some of the things that make us happy? Write that down. And out of those things, what are passing? What just fades away? You know? What fades away? You know, it's like I'll be happy in a couple of months when NASCAR is back on. You know? But after the first few races, it's like, okay. I'll be happy when The Walking Dead comes back on TV, you know, for the next season. I'll be happy. But it's a fleeting thing. You know, it doesn't last. Times Tammy and I spend together, camping out in the blazer in the rain and watching old TV shows on the phone. That's joy. And that's lasting. You know, that's lasting. So Father, we thank you that you can give us joy. Would you help us during this holiday time to count it all joy as we face trials, waiting in lines, waiting behind traffic, waking up to find flat tires, or to hear of a friend's passing, to hear the word of another friend who can no longer do anything on his own. And he's counting it all joy. Lord, I pray for us here in this room that you would just fill us with your joy unspeakable and full of glory, that it would begin just to well up with inside of us, that we would recognize your coming, your death on the cross, and the promise of your return. And in the meantime, that we would recognize the comforter that you've given us. And that in him, the fruit of that Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, would begin to grow once again. Help us to nurture the soil of our hearts, that tree would flourish and grow. We give you praise today, Lord. We join our hearts with those shepherds in the field. We're grateful that you would consider us, that you would come to us no matter what our stature is, that you come and you call us and you say, come, follow me. Come and look. Come and see the baby born in Bethlehem. Come and see the line of the tribe of Judah born in the city of David and rejoice. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. Praise and glory this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Amen and amen. So if anybody needs prayer for anything that's going on, grab somebody and say, would you pray with me? Or if the Lord's put it on your heart to pray for someone, just pray. Before we pack up in that question, David, would you be so kind as to pray for your friend, for Rory and
Rory and Joey Feet,